well by the state. And it became a little bit of a heated discussion down there, because there were board members that asked that we consider, there was a motion actually initially laid out to cancel us working on the permitting process for the Cape Petersburg Intertie. And after discussion, that was rescinded because the state had put money up to get the permitting and process done and in place. And that's important to do in the event in the future funding does come through. And so we're still on track with doing that. And the best example of that is would be like our road corridor into Canada. It's good that what was done because really it's there waiting to be funded. So we're not going to have to go several years to get to that point if funding ever happens. SEPA continues to review its policies and procedures handbook, and it's in the process of overhauling the website, and it's looking good. The website does now have all the information that all board members get, so the entire board member packets are on this website, and it's accessible to anybody that wants to go there and look. And I want to mention really quickly, give credit to the SEPA staff for putting the graphs and charts together, because that wasn't me. That's actually right out of the board members' packet. I listed several different projects that were completed this year. We've had a pretty long list of repair and maintenance projects for the system-wide. The list was getting a little long, and in the last year, a lot of those projects got taken care of, so there's been good progress being made in that regard. SEPA had its annual financial audit with no discrepancies. It's always good. We had a fellow from In Tandem Limited give a presentation on how SEPA employees' compensation compares to other public utilities in the nation. And it was a good presentation, and it was mentioned in the presentation that there are regional considerations when you put together a model for how you compensate in this case, but they really hadn't been looked at in this presentation, so it was just kind of left open-ended. And I got a little vocal on that, saying don't spend all the money to have someone come in and give a presentation, but then don't look at the local considerations, because in this case, I kind of got the impression that, for instance, we are underpaying our CEO by $80,000 to $100,000, and that's not necessarily true when you consider what our local utility managers are being paid and what the market is here and stuff, and the other considerations for people coming to live here and work here. SEPA had an advertisement for an electrical engineer that's been out for several months and has received 9 applications, but none of them passed muster with the staff. And that was one of the reasons also for looking at what we are advertising to pay. And I had mentioned that if we couldn't get who we want in that kind of a position, that we might want to review putting on a whole other full-time staff member, but rather seeing if we just need to be contracting that out just to make sure we actually have enough work for an engineer like that to justify another full-time position. Because that really puts down to my reason for being on the board and going, our industry needs to keep our power as cheap as we possibly can. The transition of the Taiye Lake Hydro Facilities O&M contract is continuing, and SEPA staff are dealing with, especially our Jeff J. Bush, our city manager, to work out all the details of that. And you guys will probably be getting direct reports from Jeff on that.
On that issue there, I'd also like to add that the Petersburg staff from Petersburg is also involved in that.
Excellent. Okay. At this time, there really isn't anything that's brought to the SEPA board to basically take action on, because those details are being worked out by all the parties. As the Ketchikan-Whitman Hydro project is nearing completion, a true-up agreement will need to be negotiated with SEPA before Ketchikan can utilize this energy. And what that means in layman's terms is we have this power sales agreement that protects our rates, protects our use of the energy that we have in this partnership. Any new energy producing that comes online has to fall under very strict guidelines for when it can be sold and things like that, to protect our ability to basically sell as much energy as we can from the facilities that we have that we're making payments on. And that also has to do with like the federal bonding requirements and stuff to make sure we stay as solvent and responsible to that debt. Yes, ma'am.
I was just curious if you have anything like, an idea of a timeline when they might have a draft for review, or?
I would imagine we're gonna see something in the first week of March that, at the next SEPA meeting, because they're going to be coming, they're gonna have the ability to be coming online, I believe, in the first quarter of this year. And so Ketchikan's gonna be very motivated to have an option for lighting that up.
Okay.
SEPA received a letter from the Borough of Wrangell requesting that SEPA keep digital audio recordings of their meetings, and that was unanimously passed by the SEPA board. SEPA approved the 2014 operations plan. What that basically means is once a year.
Brian.
Oh, yes, sir.
Sorry to interrupt. On that last point, I did read someplace that they were gonna post that, those recordings on the website, so that they would be available to us anytime we wanted to go listen to them. Is that going to happen, or?
That wasn't discussed at the meeting, but okay. I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
That way we don't have to make special requests and wait for them to come in. If they can put them on the website, we can go listen to them.
Okay, that's a good idea. The SEPA approved 2014 operations plan. Once a year, SEPA looks at our operations at the two hydro facilities, makes any adjustments to how we operate the facilities, and that really pertains mostly to making sure that we manage a water reservoir as best we can, because that's the weak link, and this is how big our bathtubs are. You know, running out of water in January if it gets real cold, and we're running diesels and stuff. There's a lot of work that goes into balancing that out. And the big deal right now for us is just trying to determine how low we can go without having any problems operationally, mechanically with our systems. As an example, you don't want to get so low in the lake that you start sucking sediment into the hole, running that through the turbines, things like that. And there's a lot of discussion about that, a lot of smart people talking about that stuff and looking into where that line is. And we've dropped that line over the years because demand has gone up. I'm confident that we're being careful, and because the operational managers meet on the phone every Monday, we discuss this plan and tweak it every single week just to make sure we're okay. Yes, sir.
Do you know whether any of this rain we've got here has reached that elevation?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if it's frozen or if it's wet, but it sure is wet down here. I mean, eventually it's going to help us. And the fact is, it hasn't been real cold. And we had that cold spell in December, and then it or November, and it never rained a lot. So I haven't heard any murmurings at all that we're in trouble. I think we're quite well and soaked and waterlogged.
Oh, yeah, it was roaring down my yard when I literally, oh my gosh.
Yeah. SEPA approved the following rebates to the member utilities: Ketchikan's $425,000 and some change, Petersburg's $200,000, and Wrangell's $173,000. The wholesale rate of 6.8 cents has remained the same for 16 years. We put it on the agenda to talk about the rebate, to maybe change the wording, because we've gotten word that politically, that makes it sound like we're so flush, we're just giving money back. And that's not a good message to send when we're asking for money. Really what it is a reimbursement. What we basically do is say we ask for this much, and at the end of the year, because it's a nonprofit, community-owned organization, what we have surplus, we simply reimburse back to the communities. And it's semantics, but when a politician's not really familiar with it, and they go, you're asking for $11 million for this, but you guys are giving people cash back at the end of the year? What's up with that? Yes, ma'am.
I was curious, do you know what the, considering the reimbursement, what the effective rate is for wholesale power? It'd be below 6.8.
It would be below 6.8.
I'd have to get my number is?
I'd have to get my calculator out and run that real quick. I mean, because you're looking at like 10 and a half million was gross, minus this, divided by the KW, and that would give us a rate. So the idea of not doing a rebate and like dropping it by a penny has been talked about, and so I suspect it's probably right around there, just shooting from the hip. Don't quote me on that. I'm happy and looking forward to working with the newly appointed SEPA board members. I think Christy's gonna be awesome.
One more question. Back up at number six, when you talked about the presentation on SEPA employee compensation, how it compares to other public utilities, what did the presentation say? I mean, average, what was staff? I mean, over, under, is it different for different positions?
This came up primarily because we couldn't get the people that we wanted to be attracted to come to Southeast for that engineering position. Mm-hmm. But it also came up to look at where we're at as far as how much we pay our CEO. And according to the national standard, we were low. But if you look at what we're paying the electrical manager for Ketchikan, Petersburg, and Wrangell, we're not. We've kept our lights on for 60, 70 years just fine, paying a wage that is reasonable for where we're at, what attracted people to be here and want to take those jobs. And I basically just kind of brought that to the table because it really wasn't said. It was said, well, there's some local considerations to look at. And I was thinking to myself, no, actually, that's a pretty fairly large consideration, because if I just walked away with what I was given as a board member, a volunteer board member, I'd say, oh my gosh, we got to give these people $100,000 raises. And I'm shooting from the hip, so again, be kind. I'm just giving some general numbers here. And it's on the board packet. You can download it as far as specifically what the numbers were given. And I basically just wanted to balance it to say, no, let's look at the regional considerations. Because I asked our three utility managers were there. I said, you moved here for this job. Why'd you come? You know, are you compensated well? You know, and went to all three of them just to get a baseline and kind of change the perspective a little bit, so it just didn't look like we were messing up and underpaying by a large amount. Does that answer your question?
Somewhat. And what about the electrical engineer that you haven't been able to fill a position for 3 months? Does that need adjustment, or are you just going to continue looking?
I ask that we reconsider and actually contract that out. We do a lot of contracting and things that we don't need full time with. And I just asked that maybe we need to reconsider seeing if that should be stuff that should just be contracted out, so we don't wind up putting a full-time person on and then all of a sudden it stays on perpetually if we didn't need it full-time. Just want to be very protective about those types of long-term debts that we lock into. Did you have a question next?
I just have one last thing real quick on your first point here. We understand why it's important, but for the public out there,
Ketchikan needs more power. They basically have buildings being built, from what I understand, where the amount of power they have and the amount of power they're going to need doesn't add up anymore. Well, that's been the case for a while. Ketchikan does burn a lot of diesel every year. Depending on what Wrangell and Petersburg do with our share of the energy, we may or may not need more power for a while. You know, there's a lot of things to consider in that equation. And what I'd like to see happen, in order for us to make very good informed decisions about going into long-term bonding things where we're asked, where we indebt ourselves for millions of dollars potentially, is to make sure we've vetted all of our options for how we manage our own power and use it. You know, with some of the new heat pumps that are being brought into Wrangell as we speak and working well, we can lighten our winter loads considerably by a very large margin. What happens with the processors in the summer, because we've seen a very significant increase in energy from our fish processing plants, that's a good thing. But I'd like to bring them to the table and say, how are you using that? What can we do to make our power that we have go further? Because I'm just basically, I'll just say it up straight up, I'm very, very cautious about going into debt for, say, $200 million on a brand new project and what that does to our rates and ultimately what that may do to our economy. I want to make sure that we have the fish processors at the table, and when we start looking at these types of numbers, that we say, we're talking about an increase to this much percent per kilowatt if we have to add more power. Can you run the plate freezers for that? Or are you going to be shipping the fish out somewhere else because we've just went past the mark? I think we just really need to involve our industries into some of these decisions.
Can we be clear about the potential cost of raising Swan Lake?
Swan Lake is about $11 million.
$11 million.
The
not
state?
$200 million. I just want.
Oh no, you know, and I appreciate you saying that, because no, Swan Lake is not $200 million, but we are actively right now making a list of places where we can get more power, and the projects we would be looking at would be those types of large projects.
Down the road.
Down the road.
Yeah.
part of this discussion we're having right here relates back to that energy committee that we were talking about, because in the usage of this power that we're talking about and trying to develop and come up with our terms, that's the important part of developing something between Ragland and Petersburg that's solid. Because right now we don't have a totally solid agreement between us on the 50% power structure, and that was one of the things that we needed to look at very strongly and negotiate down to where we maintain our rights to the 50% power. And that relates back to some of the things that he's talking about, that we are, you know, got to be aware of what the industry is using and what the future usage is in both our communities, not only both our communities, but also with Ketchikan. That's looking towards the future. So,
and just briefly, the discussion you guys had earlier about why that mill chose Petersburg over Wrangell and stuff, I think energy should be part of the discussions about that, because what if we actually, I don't think we do, but what if we actually had a bigger surplus that we could negotiate that surplus to an industry that wanted to come in? Was that on the table? I'm not bringing that up because it wasn't, I don't know, but those are kind of the things I think about when we start looking at trying to invite industry in. One of the questions they're going to say is, how much power do you have and what does it cost?
The other part of that same discussion is securing the fact, and that was part of our discussions at that last energy meeting, was the security discussions on the usage and talking to our high usage people in our community. The high usage, which we don't really look at most time, and that was discussed there, is both our grocery stores use a tremendous amount of electricity, and then we have our city buildings, and we go need to go right down the list and then talk to the people, fishing industry and the rest of that, because it's crucial to any business to know in the future how stable our rates are going to be, whether we can encourage business to come be stable.
If nobody has any other questions, I just have one uplifting comment to make when it comes to all this kind of stuff. Energy is going to be at the foundation of our economy, there's no doubt, as far as producing from seafood and things like that, and of course you guys know that. But one of the things I'm looking at as I'm looking at seafood globally and stuff is that our wild seafood here is kind of a stronghold that is pretty significant. And I think in the years to come, it's really going to stick out. And I just would like us to be ready so that we have the energy, so that we can value it as much as we can, so we can retain those good jobs and maximize the income being pulled out of the ocean here. And energy is going to be the cornerstone of that. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Ashton. A very informative report. We do appreciate it, and I'm sure the public does. And since we have two voting members and two alternates on the board this year, hopefully you could get some help in coming forward with reports.
Thank you, sir.
It's not all on you, okay? Thank you. We have no unfinished business. We go to new business. 13A, proposed ordinance number 873. An ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Chapter 6.04 of the Wrangell Municipal Code relating to alcoholic beverages to amend Section 6.04.100 on hours of sale. And this is the first reading.
I move to approve the first reading and move to a second, with a public hearing to be held on January 28th of this year.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any
discussion?
Just one thing. The subject we're discussing, the ordinance number 873, and on the memorandum attached to that, it says ordinance number 872.
It looks like I failed to change that number. I apologize. It should be 873.
Okay.
And the content is accurate.